Glory, glory. All right, little ones, y'all come on. Y'all got a good group today? All right. Boy, you got a good group with you today there, Miss Stephanie. Wonderful, wonderful. Hey, Boone, you coming? Give me five. All right, all right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, okay? Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, a day that you have made, and we could rejoice and be glad in it. We do believe little as much when you are in it. And Lord, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for Miss Stephanie and those that work with her and the truth that you're planting in these little arrows of ours. We just pray that you'll continue to grow them and use them and use this time to magnify your name. For we're going to exalt it together today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all right. Y'all have fun. Learn something good. Well, to God be the glory. Amen. Y'all know their verse they remember in this month? John 14:6. What does John 14:6 say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing it is to be a messenger of the King. Amen. I mean a messenger of the King. That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings or good news, glad news of our great God and Savior, that victory and triumph has been won at the cross of Calvary in Christ, and we get to go tell the world the good news, and often to really have the impact of that great news we have in Christ, we have to remind the world that there is also bad news. That is, if you die, for we're all on a crash course with death, every single soul that lives, we were born in this world, headed toward a death sentence, that if you die without Jesus, you'll die and perish without him. So we've been these called out, consecrated, and sent messengers of a great King, very similar to how Amos that we're reading about right now in the Older Testament, very applicable to where we are right now. Matter of fact, Amos is even telling us stuff that is still going on right now in our day of the goodness and the grace of God raising up the tabernacle of David, for whom we know is the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his tent or in his body he is drawing all men unto himself by way of the cross and the power of his resurrection, and he is rescuing those that he shed his blood for and laid his life down for. He is rescuing them today. I'm one of those, the product or the fruit of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amos tells us that. So take your revelation you brought with us today, and let's go look at this messenger. This messenger. How many of you got a text from me just a little bit ago of a map and some timeline of Amos? Did anybody get that on your text? Well, if you didn't get it, you'll probably get it at some point. If you don't, if I don't have your number, you didn't get it, of course. But if I got your number, I sent it out just a little bit. Y'all were too close, didn't get it yet. Well, some didn't get it. But what it is, when you get home or you get to a place, you'll see that there is a map that I sent you of that region, of that area. And the reason I sent it, it's because we have eight nations that God is going to have a word for in the book of Amos. Eight nations. And those eight nations surround, which would include both Judah and Israel. They're part of the eight that we see in Amos. For we up to chapter 3, so you know what I'm talking about already. We see them in chapter 1 and chapter 2 brought to light. And Amos's message is going to narrow down on the northern 10 tribes. It's going to narrow it down upon them and their rebellion, because their dispersion, them being dealt with by God, is coming up pretty soon. So in those nations, that map is going to show these kingdoms that God is revealing all surround Judah and Jerusalem. They make a circle. As you keep going around that circle is going to get more narrow, like a funnel would. And it's going to eventually get into Judah, and then it's going to get to Samaria or Jerusalem, and that's where Amos is pointing his word toward, a group of people who have gone wayward and have been wayward for a long, long time. A long time. So there are a couple contemporary, side by side, overlapping times, prophets that also were prophesying during those days. And I'll give them to you and you can write some of these down. Jonah. It was during the days of Jonah. Now we know Jonah's message in the book of Jonah was directed toward Nineveh, the Assyrians. At this time that you're reading about Amos, the Assyrians and the Egyptians at the current time were the two dominant powers in that region. Specifically, the Assyrians were in control. And they are going to wreak havoc upon the northern 10 tribes here shortly. And they're going to disperse them. They're going to attempt to do it to Judah, but God's not going to allow it to happen. He's going to use another nation to deal with Judah. And we know of them as the Babylonians. He'll bring them in eventually, and he'll disperse Judah, carry them captive into Babylon, and eventually after 70 years, he'll bring them back. But Assyria is not one of the nations that God is going to deal with in Amos's prophetic word. Assyria is going to deal with some of these nations. Babylon is going to deal with some of these nations. The Greeks, like Alexander the Great, is going to deal with some of these nations down the road. So these prophetic words that Amos proclaimed by the authority and the power and the purpose of God, that's what makes it prophecy, is going to have a long-term lasting effect. Now, how long Amos prophesied, we're not sure, little Russ. We just don't know exactly how long his prophecy spanned as far as while he said these things and proclaimed these things, but we have some historical markers, some landmarks given to us in the first few verses. So let's start there. We'll read there and just keep in mind he's a messenger. He's a messenger sent by God. You don't want to miss this because if you belong to Jesus, you're a messenger too. And you're a messenger sent with a message. That message you've been sent with is that men will die without Jesus and that men cannot justify themselves in and of themselves. Man without Jesus is bent toward themselves and a wrong can't never make a right right. Wrongs do not make rights. You got to have something that's right to correct the wrong. And the only right that is out there that God has is Jesus. It's the only way to be right with God. It's the only way that you can be in a right relationship with a holy God through the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and his death and through the glorious validation in our lives of his life, the power of his resurrection and all the promises that he's given us. And one in particular, the promise that he's coming back for us one day. Now he's left us here though. He's left us and sent us with a message. We are messengers. We're missionaries. We're everyday missionaries for the glory of God. We're never not on mission for Jesus. Amen. Now, I may not be applying that in my everyday life, but God's going to hold me accountable to the mission work that I do. Just like we see God holding the people in that day accountable, he is going to hold you and I accountable. So let's just read the first couple verses. We'll look at chapter 1, maybe into chapter 2, and even talk about maybe chapter 3. And what we don't get to this morning, Brother Shannon, what we're going to do this evening.
We'll do it tonight.
We'll get back in it again tonight. And it's always good to have family and friends with us. Amen? Amen. It's always good to have our Facebook friends join in with us whenever they do. And we pray God to help them and encourage them and speak to them as well. So the beginning of Amos, the prophet, he says the words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen or the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, historical reference, this is his king over Judah, Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, which was the king over the northern 10 tribes, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And this is what he says in verse number 2. And he, that is Amos, said, this was a message, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the land of the shepherds, they are mourning, and the top of Carmel withers. Father, would you bless us today as we approach your throne of grace again and asking you to give us understanding and help us with these things. We know that your word was spiritually given, it was spiritually released, and it will be spiritually revealed to us. We have to have you illuminate this illuminating word to us by your Spirit. So we're at your mercy. We ask you to speak life into us today. Help us with these things, and may we look to you in every aspect of our life, knowing that you know exactly where we are. You hold us accountable to what we do in life, and that you have made the provision of your grace that is entirely, absolutely sufficient for us to walk with you and live this life to your glory. So we praise you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, there's a couple things we want to point out right off the bat is that we see these markers of Uzziah and Jeroboam. And the reason it tells us that Jeroboam had a father by the name of Joash is because the northern 10 tribes had two kings by the name of Jeroboam. The first king of the northern 10 tribes, his name was Jeroboam. He was a servant of Solomon. Y'all remember when we've traveled through the scriptures that God told Solomon that if he would marry or intermarry into pagan wives, there was going to be a consequence for that. They were going to drag him off and have him do things that he was not permitted to do. He wasn't authorized to do. God didn't give him the authorization to marry outside of the nation of Israel. That was specific that God said. And if he did, God was going to divide his kingdom after him. Well, that's what happened. The kingdom split. And a servant of his, Jeroboam, God appointed as king over the northern 10 tribes. Jeroboam was a wicked, wicked man who attempted to thwart and take Israel off course with the ways that God had given them. He's the one, we talked about him a lot through the years, he's the one who set up the false system of worship in the northern 10 tribes. And every single king in the northern 10 tribes for nearly 300 years went in the ways of Jeroboam. And the Bible describes it like this. They all sinned in the sins of Jeroboam. That is, they stayed the same course that he set up. He set up a false system. He set up false places of worship. We see in the scriptures where it talks about Beersheba and Dan. Dan and Beersheba, that is the northern and the southernmost parts of Israel, is where he set up places and put up false places of worship. And also in Bethel and Gilgal. These were areas that the people could come and worship, but it wasn't ordained of God. They had no authority to do what they were doing. They had no power to do it in God's name. Why? Because there was no purpose in them whatsoever. And they had gone that way for years upon years upon years. Longer than we have been established as a nation here in America, they went the wrong way and done the wrong thing. So Amos has been sent to a group of people who was brought up and raised in corruption. They were brought up and raised in falsehoods. They were brought up and raised in lies. Just like us. We have been sent into a world that was born in corruption. that was born in the falsehoods, in lies, and we get to bring a living word to them that can take them out of that darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God's love in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a message we have. What a ministry we have in the kingdom of God. What a mission we have as everyday missionaries. Now, Uzziah is a king over Judah at this time. And these two kings overlap one another by about 14 years. Meaning Uzziah was king over Judah and Jeroboam was king over Israel for about a 14-year period at the same time. Now we have a further landmark about this earthquake, Rusty, which we don't have much documentation on, other than there is a future prophet who's going to come along in the Bible by the name of Zechariah. Some 200, 250 years later, Zechariah is going to bring this earthquake up again. And in particular, he's going to talk about what the people did when the earthquake came, how they responded to it. And the reason he did that, it was a pivotal point of drawing back some 250 years to grab that time frame. And then he said, down the road, there's going to come a day in the nation of Israel, hadn't happened yet, still yet to happen, that there's going to be a major event take place in the life of Israel, and the Israelites are going to escape out of Israel just like they did in the days of Uzziah in that earthquake, and they're going to go to a place that we believe is called Petra, or a place in Edom that God's going to provide a way of escape for His people. When all the nations of the world come against Israel, God's going to get them out of there. And that's where we read in the New Testament where Jesus said, look, if you're plowing in the field and it happens, you need to get out. If you're grinding at the mill, you need to leave. You need to get out of there as fast as you can when it happens. Why? Because God's made a way of escape for His people at the time. The earth is going to help them out because of this earthquake. They're going to be able to get out. So we're talking about a landmark thing that some 250 years later, they're still talking about. Amen. Just like, how many of y'all remember when Camille hit the Gulf Coast? That was before my time. I wasn't living at that time. Sandy, was you living when Camille came through? What year did Camille come through? 19 what? 60 something. It was early. You may not remember the exact date, but those that are living and a little bit older remember the devastation. Then there was another hurricane that come through that people don't refer to Camille as much. They refer to Hurricane Katrina. Remember when Katrina hit? Or you remember what? 9-11. Historical. That people will be talking about for years and years to come. Well, let's make one even a little closer. What about March 2020 when COVID struck? That'd be something that's going to be talked about. The history books are going to chronicle it. It's going to go back. It's going to have a long term. So when they make reference to that, we have a reference to COVID. We have a reference to Katrina. We have references to 9-1-1, and we can put a time frame around that, what happened. Well, these people were fully aware of this earthquake because this was 2 years before it happened. Zechariah is going to talk about it some 250 years after it happened. It's still brought to light. So, we have a historical time frame here. Let me give you a couple prophets that were prophesying during this time frame. You could write these down. Jonah was a prophet. Y'all remember Jonah? What did Jonah do when God came to Jonah? Jonah went the other way. Why did Jonah go the other way? He just didn't want to be used by God. Jonah was so caught up in doing Jonah's business that he didn't have time to go proclaim a message to the world that he lived in that day. God said He was going to destroy Nineveh unless they repent. And Jonah said, God, you're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to grant them mercy. You're going to do it, but I don't want you to have to use me to do it. I'm out of here. And he took out and went the other way. There's a lot of Jonahs living in our land today. In the sense that God's told us to go to the world and tell them about Jesus, but we just get caught up in our everyday business and we're not doing what we're doing everything but telling them about Jesus. Are you with me? There was another prophet Joel falls into this. Joel most likely come in a few years before Amos, but he is there. Amos is actually going to quote Joel in these verse number 2. Joel made a statement that the lion will roar and the Lord will utter his voice from Jerusalem. And he grabbed that and he brought that to light. There's another prophet. Y'all ever heard of the prophecy of Isaiah? How many chapters in the big book of Isaiah? 66 chapters of that great big Bible of a Bible of itself. The prophet of Isaiah. Another guy that was prophesying during this time. How many of y'all remember the story of Hosea? Y'all remember Hosea? What was significant about Hosea? What did God tell him to do? He said, go marry a prostitute. Go marry a harlot. And that harlot was going to mistreat Hosea. And that harlot was going to abandon Hosea. And that harlot was going to have children. Just kind of some collateral out of her relationship with Hosea. But it was just collateral damage. She left those children with him and she went back into harlotry. And what did God tell him to do, Miss Pat? Go get her again. Go buy her again. What was Hosea? He was a living illustration of the nation of Israel at this time in their rebellion, that God loved them. He was married to them. He bought them. They belonged to him. But they kept going off into harlotry and serving everything else but him. So Hosea becomes that living message. So we see Amos and Joel and Hosea and Jonah and Isaiah, Tammy, all at this time. Do you think God had a word for the people? Oh, he had a word. Isaiah's going to follow. He's going to be a little bit later than Amos, but he comes in at the same time with King Uzziah. And Uzziah was a king who did great things, and toward the end of his reign, he got a little arrogant, a little pride that came into his life, and it cost him as well. So, we see this. Now, what was Amos? He was a herdsman. This word's only used, if you're looking at the words of Amos, among the sheep breeders or the herdsmen, only used twice, I believe, Lucas, in the scriptures, and it talks about a master sheepsman, a master shepherd, a master with sheep or goats or cows. He was good at what he did. He was the type of guy that could not only breed them and raise them and guide them and shepherd them, but he could buy and sell. He knew what he was doing. He was in a little place called Tekoa, which was just a small fortified city that had been made by one of the kings to fortify that. I think I wrote his name down. Let's see. Rehoboam. Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son, when he took over after Solomon died and Jeroboam went up north, Rehoboam took Tekoa, Brother Shannon, and he fortified it to make it a military place that he could fight battles with. But it was just a small little community. It was kind of a rough area. They didn't really, wasn't known for anything magnificent coming out of it. The sheep that they bred and the figs that they grew was kind of a lower class fig and a lower class sheep. And here's this guy who's just a normal guy, like Deborah's a normal lady, and Danny and myself. He's just an old country guy living out in the country as a herdsman, as a master shepherd. He's living out in the country. He was just a farmer, Rusty. It's all he was. Look in chapter 7. He's going to tell us that. Chapter 7. He's explaining to one of the priests up in the north where he came from. And he's going to say, look, I didn't ask for this. God interrupted me. And he invaded me with this message. He called me and consecrated me and then committed himself to me and commissioned me with a word to go forth. I'm telling you, Amos is a lot like me and you. Come on. How many of y'all got a prophetic background in your life where you had preachers and prophets and all that in your family? Raise your hand if you did. Miss Pat says she has family members. Hunter's got a grandpa that's a preacher. The rest of us in here, we were just out swimming in the ocean of life. with very little guidance from any kind of historical reference of a priest or a prophet or anybody in that capacity. And God came to us and He interrupted us with Jesus.
Amen.
Invaded us with His grace. And then gave us a word to go forth. Look what He says in verse 14. Amos, he answered the false priest, Amaziah. He said, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of the prophet. But I was what? A herdsman. A master sheep breeder. And a tender of sycamore fruit. A sycamore fruit would be carrying what we would consider a fig tree, is the idea. It's a fig. He was a fig fruit. How many of y'all eat figs?
Amen.
Not everybody likes figs. Some folks won't mess with them. Folks that don't mess with figs, all you got to do is cook them down and add a little strawberry jam to it. Now you got some strawberry jam and it's going to taste like strawberry. Yeah, Deborah, you could eat it. You could eat it. Say it with me. I can eat it, Brother Nick.
I can't
eat it. You see, but what was Amos?
Ordinary man.
He's just an ordinary guy living an ordinary life, a normal life, working his sheep, taking care of his fruit trees, making a living, and God invades the man. And listen what he says. Verse 15. Then, while I was doing this, then the Lord took me as I followed the flock. Notice that, followed the flock. We find that with David too. David was following the ewes when God came to him. Out doing normal everyday work that he had been set apart to, having no idea carrying that day God was going to come to him and speak to him and give him a mission and give him a ministry to a people who had wanted nothing to do with God's message. He says, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people, Israel. Prophesy to my people. What makes prophecy prophecy? Good note. It's truth that is in the authority, in the power, and for the purpose of God. Truth that is authoritative, powerful, and purposeful from the throne of God is a prophetic word. So when you go out and proclaim God's word that is sanctioned and consecrated by God, you have a purpose sent by Him. You have His power to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have His authority that He's commissioned you to do it, and you telling the world His truth, you are going and telling a positive prophetic word that God's given you to go walk in. You are a messenger, and all God's people said.
Amen.
We're messengers. But Amos is just a normal, everyday guy until he is interrupted by an extraordinary God. And now he has an extraordinary work to do. Everything else in life, including him, because I don't think he left from being a herdsman. I believe he's going to come back and continue to do what he's doing, because we don't know exactly how long this spanned out, the things that he was telling these northern 10 tribes and those surrounding nations. We don't know. But some tell us that most likely what Amos did and his work only may have lasted him a week's time. Now Isaiah, his ministry spanned it over 50 years. Jeremiah's ministry spanned it nearly 60 years. The expanse of their work was long, but Amos, for this brief moment in time, God places a word upon him. Now the thing is, for you and me, when you come into the kingdom and you're saved by God's grace and He's given you a ministry and a mission to do, it's from now on out. Amen. It ain't no distemporary week. It's forever. And all God's people saying is from here on out, you have a calling upon your life. So Lucas, this is what he was, just a guy doing what he did every day. And God called him, consecrated him, committed himself to him, and then what? Sent him out on a commission to go tell a group of people God's message, to go tell God's people His message. So go back to chapter number one. Verse 1, the words of Amos. This opens up Jacob, just like Jeremiah, the words of Jeremiah, one of the only two prophets that starts out that way. We talked about it with the men in Sunday school. Brother Shannon asked a question on that because it stood out, because usually the prophecy says the word of the Lord that came to Joel or Hosea or whoever it may be. But these are the words. The word there, you, Sandy, is the word for the content. Means the material, the subject matter, the content of Amos. This is his message. And that message is something that he saw. Now, do you see a message? Do you see words? Do you see the content? Or is this telling us that Amos had to what?
Hear.
He had to hear the content from God. You've heard me say this a lot over the years. In our work in the kingdom, in mission work, in God's kingdom, hearing is what? Seeing. We see because we hear, Janet. And God's words are living words. They're powerful words. They're active words. They're living, active, keen, wise. And His word transfers His life to us when we grab His word and we can see what God sees. Remember, faith is what? Seeing, agreeing, and acting on what God reveals. So when he says the words of Amos, he's telling us these are the words God spoke to him. He has seen them by faith, and now he's going to go forth and proclaim them to whom God sent him to proclaim to. So these words are what? Alive, they are able, and they are active in his life to impart life to those that will hear them and respond to them. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in these days. Verse 2, and he, that would be Amos, and Amos said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Now, what you have in the remaining of chapter 1 and the chapter 2 is God dealing with those nations. Tonight, when we come back, we're probably not going to get into every detail of what goes on with these nations. You can read them and you can see them going on in America and in our lives right now, very similar, when they wasn't paying attention to the needs of the people or they were mistreating people. It was about injustices. And remember, all injustices will come to light and God will deal with every one of them.
Amen.
And all God's people said, we see that consistently through the Word. These people didn't even have a message from God, but God still held them accountable for their actions. We do have a message, and seeing we do have a message from God, do you not think God's going to hold us even more accountable for the message that we do have? Amen? If He holds these people accountable who didn't have His message, because chapter 3 says that God only revealed Himself to one group of people at that time. That was His people, Israel. The rest of the world were in the dark on these things. But he still held the rest of the world in accountable.
Sure.
And responsible for what they did. And God does that. So tonight when we come back, we're going to look at this. But when you go home today and you pick up your phone or you get out a Bible map that's going to show this area, this is what I want you to begin to think about. Because it's easy for us when we are in a position like we are today, we can easily agree with that we got a world that's dying and perishing without Jesus, and they're doing things that are contrary to the heart of God, and we can point fingers out there and point fingers out there. And I'd imagine when Amos got to those northern 10 tribes and his message started out with Damascus, which was Syria, when his word got to them, I'd imagine those folks in the north said, yeah, those sorry Syrians and those Damascans, they deserve the judgment of God. And then he got over to what? Down to the Philistines in Gaza. And they said, yeah, they've been a pain in our life from day one. They've always called us trouble. Then he gets down to the Phoenicians or the Lebanese in Tyre. And they said, yep, they've mistreated us and done the same thing. And then he gets over to what? Edom. And then he gets to Ammon. And then he gets to Moab. And all of a sudden now he's talking about Judah.
Yeah.
And boy, he's going to go right past Judah and he's going to narrow down on Israel. And I'd imagine they started getting uncomfortable by then. Are you with me?
Amen.
Because this is what God's doing, Dan. If you took that map, I did it just yesterday. I took the first one he mentioned, Damascus. And for me, I'm looking at it as it is laid out. It's going to be opposite for you, of course. But Damascus sits up here in Syria. Remember, Paul was on that road to Damascus.
Right.
When God invaded his life, interrupted him. But you take that and you drag it across and you come down here. You come down to Gaza, the land of the Philistines. You had to cross through Judah and Israel to get there. Then God's going to take it up to the Phoenicians, Lebanon, up the Tyre. They're on the border of the Mediterranean Sea. Then Brother Shannon is going to drag it across Judah and Israel, and he's going to come down here to Edom. Then he's going to bring it up to Ammon. Then he's going to bring it back down to Moab. Then he's going to bring it over to Judah, and then he's going to bring it back up to Samaria. What you see in that is that these pronouncements of judgment, every one of them, when God took them, they crossed through the land of his people because they were going to be in the crosshairs of this.
Amen.
They wasn't going to escape it. Yeah, God's going to deal with all these nations around them, but he's making his way of holding his people who have misused what he gave them and taken advantage of their own. God's going to now hold them accountable for what they've been doing for all these years. But when you look at that, you can see that when God started out, he started out there with Damascus, and they said, "Yeah, they need that, Brittany. They've been some hard people to deal with. They've been cruel people." Oh, and then Philistines. Remember that giant that came out of the Philistines? What was his name? Oh, Goliath and his brothers. Man, they've been hard to work with, and they still hard to work with. You know the word Philistine, the word Palestine is the same word Philistine. Gaza, aren't they still trouble in Gaza and Israel today? They're constant trouble there and all that goes on, because when the Romans invaded in AD 70 and overthrew the Jerusalem, overthrew the people of Judah and Israel in that day, and they dispersed them all over, they wanted to wipe their name out, and they changed the name of that land to Palestine, which Palestine means Philistine. That's why there's trouble today. They're fighting over the land, right? Because in AD 70, the Romans said they changed the name of it. But it's always been the land that God gave to his people.
Amen.
But see, his people chose to do their own thing and not live God's way. So the consequences are now being manifested in that. And God's going to hold them all accountable. So we're going to look at a few passages. Y'all remind me. Hosea, Micah. That's another part. Did I mention Micah earlier? Add him to the list. Micah's another guy. He's another prophet that God had a word for these people at that time frame. We're going to look at a couple of those and how they treated the message of God and why we don't want to get ourselves in the same position that they were in. God gave them such great, wonderful truths, but those truths were stranger, were foreign to them. They didn't even know them. They didn't even know them. That's why we're taking time with these little kids back there. We know you as parents are doing the same thing, and you cultivating that, but you want them to know God's word. Amen?
Amen.
You want them to know what God said. You want to know what God says. So when somebody brings something up, you can refer it back to God's word, whether it be true or whether it not be. Because God's people had God's word, but his word was foreign to them because they didn't think it was valuable. Well, God's going to show them just how valuable that word is. And he's going to hold them accountable, not only for what they did know, Tammy, but also what they could have known had they positioned themselves to hear what God had to say. Amen. Do you think he's going to do that with us today?
Yeah.
Do you think you got some co-workers and some folks in the community and some folks that in your family that should know, couldn't know, ought to know a lot what God has said, but they don't know hardly anything? Well, I want to be a messenger. I want to be that missionary.
Yes.
Who has a word from the Lord that I can go love them, lead them, and illuminate God's truth to them in my life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We ask you to help us with these truths, that you'll teach us. that, Lord, You will speak life into us today, that we would surrender to this mission that You've given us, that we surrender. We don't want to be a Jonah. We don't want to be so caught up with our everyday living that we don't have time nor desire to bring Your living message to those who will perish apart from You. We don't want to get caught up in empty, vain, lifeless, useless things. We want to pant after You like the deer pants for the water brooks. And Lord, we want to hear from You so that we can see what You're doing in our land today, what You've done in Christ, and that we can tell the world of Your marvelous and wonderful grace. Not only proclaim it, but demonstrate it in the fresh songs of our own life and what You're doing. So we praise You now. I ask You to help us here at Briggs Chapel and those under the hearing of my voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody have anything before we go today? See that, Mr. Dan? All right, what time are we going to gather, Carolyn?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Well, glory be. Our prayer list is long. Got needs out there. Continue to remember Pam. She's recovering from her surgery. Y'all want to remember her. It says she's doing well. Y'all got to help her. Ask the Lord to help her remind. She can't sneeze or anything like that. Or blow her nose, they say, for 2 weeks, which is tough. So y'all pray for her. And they want her to stay out of work for, 2 weeks? But that's going to be a challenge as well. So, but she's got a good little nurse around there to take good care of her. And you want to get down? Where you going? So pray for her. Miss Barbara, she's got a little pneumonia. Remember Mr. Billy? He's having a hard time with a little sciatica with his hip that's causing him some trouble. And who else out there that may have not got mentioned or anything? And look, we got friends and family and neighbors that will perish without Jesus. Let's go to bat for them and ask the Lord to do a work. Amen.
Amen.
Send somebody that would help interrupt them on this course of living. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They're precious in the eyes of the Lord. Just like little Russ here. We wouldn't want, little Russ couldn't make it on his own, right?
Right.
He's got to have somebody looking out for him and taking care of him. Well, this world can't make it without Jesus. Got to have him. Got to have him. So let's go tell him.